I'm calling this Listen to Your Heart for Success. Actually, it's taken from my book, Listen to Your Heart, and from Dad's book, How to Be Led by the Spirit. That's actually where it all comes from. He has How to Be Led by the Spirit, and I did a little takeoff on it, doing it a little different from my generation, and called it Listen to Your Heart. I guess one of the boys, or Craig or Denise, will probably do it for same thing from their generation. You know, if you're ever going to be successful, you're going to have to learn to listen to your heart. The man on the inside, that's the heart. As you know, on these Wednesday nights, I just like to talk to you about being successful, both in the natural and the spiritual, and I try to bring it so you can apply it in the both areas and become successful. You know, sometimes we don't know what to do, but the Holy Spirit always knows what to do. And He's on the inside of us, and He's our guide, and He will talk to our spirit. You know, when you learn to, we all need to learn to listen to the Lord, whether we're young or old. I probably told this story before, but I'll tell it again. You know, one night, I don't know what to do nowadays, but when I was a teenager, we just drove around the square and drove out to Lindy's number two and drive back around and out on the other side of town to Lindy's number one and back around and back around. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, we would usually, you know, you'd stop up on a square because towns don't have squares, but we had a square. How many of you come from a town that had a square? Yeah, and so we'd park up there and talk, and different ones would stop. And so a bunch of us jumped in one of the cars and we was riding. And so one of the guys said, "Hey, let's go over such and such a town, see what we can stir up. Well, they started out driving, and then they began to talk, and I said, they're going to get in trouble. And man, the more they talked, the more I felt bad and on the inside. And so I said, "Stop this car, I want out." And of course, I got the chicken, the yellow, all that kind. I said, "I don't care what you say, I want out of here right now. If you don't stop this car, they're going to be a big problem. And so finally they stopped, I got out. By this time, you know, we're started out of town a little ways. So I started walking back. One of my buddies come by and picked me up, and he said, "What in the world are you doing out here?" And I told him what the deal was. He said, "Man, they're going to get in serious trouble." I said, "Yeah, I know. That's why I didn't go." And the next day we found out they all got put in jail. Parents had to go over and get them out, and they had to go through, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But I learned from the best about how to listen to the Spirit on the inside of you, you know. And I'd been filled with the Spirit since I was about 11 years old. And so I knew better than not to listen to the Spirit. Now, you can override it. Go do what you want to do. But then you get in trouble. It's not God's fault. It's your fault. Okay, 1 John 4:4, we all know it. I'm going to read it from the NLT. "But you belong to God, my dear children. You've already won a victory over these people, because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit that lives in this world." A fellow that had the same name I do, except middle initials different, he used to say all the time, "We ought to be more conscious of the greater one on the inside." Any of you that sat in any of his classes or been in any of his meetings, have you ever heard him say that? And we got a bunch of people shaking their heads and raising their hand. If I've heard it one time, I've heard it 1,000 or more. You can't learn to respond to situations with your heart unless you're conscious of the very presence of the Holy Spirit who lives within inside of you. He doesn't dwell there just to have a place to live. He lives there to guide you, direct you in every area of your life, not just the spiritual areas, you know. Now, a lot of people, they want some kind of supernatural something or other to give them an answer to do something. But, you know, he's probably not going to use a prophet or some spectacular supernatural thing to help you guide your life. Now, he can confirm what he's already been talking to you about through somebody saying something to you. But you need to learn how to listen to your own heart. I've had people tell me some things and say, this is what the Lord's saying. And I just look at them. Yeah, okay. Turn around and walk off because that wasn't what the Lord's saying to my heart. That's what they thought I ought to do. They thought I ought to do this, you know. Well, it's not what people think you ought to do. It's what the Holy Spirit is talking to you about on the inside. You know, Psalms 16:7 says, I will bless the Lord who guides me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. This is telling us to listen to our heart and God will guide us. You know, some people call it an inner witness, an inner knowing, or an inner intuition. Well, that's maybe what they want to call it, but I call it, it's the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of you talking to your spirit. This inner knowing, as you might call it, is the Holy Spirit. And he, in the Word of God, says that he will tell us of things that we need to know. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but that's all right. And you understand what I'm saying to you. He'll talk to us. He'll tell us things. Now, you can override that if you want to. You do not have to listen to that. And then many times, many people have overrode those and they have gotten in trouble. You know, anybody that's a believer can listen to their heart. There was a minister, he's gone to heaven now. Dad preached for him many, many times. The man had 3 car wrecks that were really bad. The last one almost took his wife's life. And Dad had preached in his church, I don't know how many times, but the last time Dad preached there, Dad was talking about this again. He said, you know, I heard you talk about that, but I didn't pay much attention to it. But he said, you know, if I would have listened to the Spirit on the inside of me, I would have never had any one of those 3 wrecks. Now, you know, we better learn to listen. You know, we normally, we leave the office sometimes, usually 6:30, 7:30 when I get out of here. And Lynette and I, and so most of the time we'll be in different cars because she may be teaching an early class and I'm teaching a later class. And so, you know, and we got different schedules. But we were leaving and we got down to the signal, down there at 145th, I call it. I forget what the name of the street is. Aspen. Thank you, Don. See, when I moved out here and started Rhema, all these streets were numbers. They didn't have no names. Some of y'all may have lived back there then any of you remember when it went by the streets and it didn't have no name? You know, it was 145th, 161st, you know. Well, just as we was approaching the light, my phone rang and I answered it on the car, pushed the button because it's hands free. And she says, I don't know why, but I'm going down 145th. You can go however you want to go. And I said, if you're going that way, I'm going that way. Now, did anything happen? I don't know. Would have anything happened? I don't know. But you see, you need to be sensitive. If you have a inner something here telling you, don't go the normal route, don't go that way. You know, it makes it easier to follow the direction of the Holy Spirit as he speaks to your heart if you are more sensitive our conscience to him, to his instructions. You know, over the years, I've had people tell me about going to a meeting they attended, and they said, "We just knew something was wrong with what the preacher was saying." And I knew these people. They were just young converts. And they didn't know a whole lot about the Bible yet. They hadn't learned a lot. And, you know, they hadn't been under enough teaching to intelligently, from the Word of God, discern that he was talking wrong. Because I was there too, you know. They just said they had a knowing on the inside. This ain't right. And yet, on the other hand, I've seen mature Christians go to a meeting, and the guy was talking, and the doctrine was wrong, but they didn't listen. They swallowed it hook, line, and sinker, and they came and talked to me about it. Once they did, this is what they said. "Well, there was something about it that sort of tickled me on the inside. But because of who he was, and he's a famous preacher, I just went along with it." Paul said, if he or an angel come teaching any other thing that he taught, kick it out the window. Don't listen to it. See, we need to listen to our hearts. Study the Word of God well enough that we know if we hear some teaching, whether it's in line with God's word or not. You know, always make the Word of God the standard. You know, there's standards. And our monetary system is based off of what? Come on. The gold standard, they call it. They call it the gold standard. Am I not correct? The Word of God is our standard. It has to come in line with the Word. Now, let me tell you something. There's some things you don't have to check the Holy Spirit about. Bible already told you. So he ain't going to tell you something different. Oh, I'm sorry. He isn't going to tell you something different. I grew up in Texas. That's the way we talk. I'm sorry. Some of you. Through the years, I have gotten lots of letters about my vocabulary and my public speaking. And I got a special file in my office. It's called File 13. And they empty it every day. You know, one guy was talking to me one time about public speaking and especially preaching, and sort of got under my skin, and you know, you don't want to do that. So I looked him straight in the face and I said, "How many sermons you preach, bud?" "Well, I haven't preached yet." I said, "Well, last year I preached 162 times, and you know, I don't tell somebody how to play football that's a professional, and I've never played. I played high school." I said, "You know what? I think if I was you, I'd just be quiet until I had enough experience to know what I'm talking about." Turned around, walked off. But you know, you don't need to check with the Holy Spirit. If you're wanting to marry an unbeliever, Bible already told you. There's a lot of things that the Bible already told you. You don't have to check with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will never tell you anything contrary to the Word of God. You know, God has designed us to follow that inward witness. Romans 8:16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. NLT says, his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we're children of God. Every believer has the responsibility to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. It is your responsibility to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You see, many times the Holy Spirit, he may not be telling you, he may be telling you to help somebody. I was at a minister's deal years ago, back in, I don't know, 78, 79. And so the Lord, I was praying. We were all us ministers, we were all down front praying. And some of the guys were laying in prostrate before the Lord. Some of them was laying on their back praying, some kneeling, some were walking praying. And I walked by this guy, and I felt something. Give him $100. Well, I kept on walking because I didn't have but $100 in my, that's all the money I had to my name. And I've told you before that when I started preaching, my dad told me, it takes more than that now, but he told me, as soon as you can, save up $100 and get $100 bill and put it in your billfold and keep it there. He said, if they don't give you an offering, you can get out of town. Well, you couldn't do it today, but back then you could. So I was walking and praying, and I happened to walk back by again, and that same thing came. So I just took it out and went down, and I slipped it in his shirt pocket, and he never even knew it. And I found out later from another friend of mine that if he didn't get $100 more to make a payment, they were going to foreclose on his car, his house, one, I forget which it was. Now you see, the inner witness on the inside of you, he'll tell you things for your own life, but he will tell you things to help somebody else. You know, he wants to guide us both in the spiritual matters and in natural matters. He wants to help us with our relationships. He wants to help us with our emotions and our emotional needs. He wants to help us with our finances. When we have decisions to make, we need wisdom to make proper decisions. That's why you need to continually read the word and pray. Keep in tune with the Spirit so you can check with him. Now, there are minor decisions and there are major decisions. Some, you know, a minor decision, what kind of car you want to buy, a major decision would be your career or marriage or something. But, you know, whatever it is, it's not too big or too small. He wants to guide us in every area of our life. Nothing is too big or too small. Now, I've told this once or twice before, but I'll tell it again. I'm sat back when we're building some buildings, back when the interest rates were really high. They went up to 22%. Some of y'all might remember that. And I got a little advantage when I talked to bankers. My brother-in-law is a banker. And so my wife's brother. So I call him when I'm going to go talk to the banker. I said, Gary, I'm going to talk to the banker about such and such. Hey, I need some advice. He'll tell me something. So he had told me what to say because we needed to borrow the money to build. And our banker had brought a guy in from up in St. Louis Bank. So we're sitting right over in that office at the conference table in my office. I got a conference table. If you've been there, it's over. My desk is here, sitting area here, and a conference table here. That's what you. This is where you nail people's hides to the wall. No, this is where you deal with business. This is where you sit and visit and talk with people. And over here is where you sit around the table and discuss and make decisions. So we're sitting there, the banker and my banker and me, and I'm sitting there, and I told them my deal and what I wanted and so forth and so on. And so they started talking a little bit, and he wasn't too much keen on the idea. Now, I heard on the inside, get up and go over to your desk and start signing those letters, because I had a stack of letters that I needed to sign. Now, that is not good business sense, to get up and walk away from the negotiation table. That's not good business sense. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That's the best way in the world to not get it. But I did. I really felt it strong. I had it. I heard it about 3-4 times. And I finally did. I got up and went over started. And they were talking. Finally, he turned around and he said, "Well, are we going to do this deal or not?" And I hadn't pre-thought or nothing. Just out of my mouth, and I know it was the Spirit, said, "You heard my deal. Take it or leave it." Well, we had already tried everything. They wasn't no other bank. They wasn't no other place to go. And after I said it, I said, "Oh my Lord!" I thought to myself, you know. And he looked at me a minute and he said, "Okay, get over here. Let's sign the papers." I don't know what would have happened, but I'm trying to explain to you that didn't have anything to do with spiritual thing. It was a natural thing of building this campus. And I listened to the Spirit. Now I want to tell you something. When you do something crazy like that, you better be sure and absolutely sure that it's the Spirit, okay? He wants to lead you. He wants to talk to you and lead you in your spirit, in your personal life, your spiritual life. He wants to help you in your leisure activities. He wants to help you with your relationships, with your family, with your coworkers, with your spouse. The Holy Spirit, like I said before, he may want you to help somebody else. You know, years ago, there was a Rhema student working in a body shop over there. As you come down that back street where our ball fields are, you come around that curve. And there was a Rhema student working at the body shop, and he worked late because everybody else left, because he would go to school and then he'd come and go to work afterwards. But that night, the story goes, that night he was really impressed to close up early and leave. So he did. But as he was locking up the building, he heard a groan, and he listened, didn't hear it no more. So he walked on his car. He started to get in the car, and he heard it again. So he started looking, and by this time he's out by the car. He's close to the side of the road, and where that curve is, right over here. Some of you have driven that curve right there by the ball field, the football field, and the base softball field there. He saw just a hint of a little light, and he went over there, and there was a guy laying in there beside of a wrecked motorcycle, unconscious. So he knelt down, and he prayed over him, and then he ran back in, called the ambulance and so forth, and then he went back out there, prayed over him until they got there, and they took him in. He had lost control of his motorcycle and hit that curb as he went around the curb there. Now there's light back there now, but back in those days, some of you have been around here long enough to remember, that was all dark back there. And late at night, I mean, after about 8 o'clock, there's hardly nobody back there until the next morning. And so if that young, and they told him, they said most people wouldn't even live with the injuries that he had, but he did, had a miraculous recovery. But you see, the young man listened to his heart. Now let me tell you the rest of the story. The guy that had the wreck on the motorcycle was another Rhema student. If he hadn't have found him, there's a possibility that he would never have been found the next morning, and of course he would have died. See, we got to be sensitive. I'm talking about being sensitive to the Spirit. He was sensitive to the Spirit. He left the job, clocked out an hour early. And of course, he needed the money for him and his family. Now, the boy that had the wreck was a single young man, lived over in the apartments. And actually, I remember this story very vividly. He had just riding a friend's motorcycle because he wanted to do it, go on a motorcycle ride. And he's coming back, going to cut through and go to the student housing, and he got that far, and he wrecked the thing. But you see, that young man on the inside there, the Lord, he felt impressed. Now, he needed that hour's wages. That cut him, for that week, that made him an hour short. Also, that made him dollars short. Sometimes when we listen to the Spirit, we will argue because it cost us something. But you see, because he listened to his Spirit, it saved a life. I'm not trying to be overdramatic, but I'm trying to show you how important it is to listen to your heart. You know, Dad told this story about a businessman down there in Tulsa, and he rose from great poverty to great wealth, earning a fortune by making investments. And over a period of years, he said he never lost a penny on any of investments. And Dad asked him why, and he said, "I learned to listen to the Spirit of God when he spoke to me on the inside." He explained that he made decisions for investments based on what the Spirit of God said to him. He said there'd been business deals on paper that looked like a sure thing. Yet on the inside, the Holy Spirit said, "Don't do it. Don't do it." He didn't. Yet there were others that looked like utter failures. The Holy Spirit said, "Invest." And they were a big success. He said, "I never make a decision unless I listen to the Holy Spirit on the inside of me." He said, "I always listen." He said, "I spend time in the Word and prayer, and I do this until I know what the Holy Spirit is saying to me." You know, his key ingredient for his success was being led by the Holy Spirit and spending time with the Word and prayer. A person cannot listen successfully to their spirit on the inside if they're not spending time fellowshipping with God through prayer and Bible reading. One of our board members years ago, he had started business with $5,500, and he invested where the Lord he felt like the Lord telling him to. But then all of his friends, they said, "You got to diversify for your financial stability. You need to diversify." So he did, and he lost a lot of money. And he said, he's telling Dad this. He said, "About that time, I got a hold of your teaching on training the human spirit, how to train the human spirit." That's his book. And he said, "I listened to that. And I went back and began investing in the thing that God had led me to invest in the first place." And he said, "When I did, I regained everything I had lost plus more." Now, we'll encounter people that won't give us a good advice. And, you know, economic experts can advise us on investments, and their advice is actually dependent upon the way they see the state of economy. And that doesn't mean we're to ignore that. We have natural knowledge and wisdom. But if God is telling us something opposite of what our advice is, once we know it's sure, make sure it's from God, then we go that direction. Another businessman said, "I pray about every business decision I make. If the Lord doesn't give me specific direction, I look at the economic indicators and act accordingly. If I get an inward witness or leading about the transaction, I always obey God. I do this even when the economic experts advise me not to, and I turn them down when they advise me to do it. Here, he's combining something that I call the natural and the supernatural to make an explosive force for God. Spiritual wisdom and practical wisdom. See, we need to get to the point of being sensitive to the person, the man on the inside, as well as understanding the natural. Many times the man on the inside is telling us to go against the grain, and sometimes he'll tell us to go with the grain. But we got to make sure that we are operating. Too many people, they're operating just in their natural. We got to be able to operate in the natural. There are times that we can operate in the natural. He'll allow us to make our own decisions. But there are times that we need to depend upon God. Come on now. You know, this building right here that we're sitting in, when we first started, went to the drawing board with it, everybody was building these 10,000 seat auditoriums and these all in the charismatic world. Any of you guys remember that? Some of you may do it. And I sat down with our architect, because we hired him, he's on staff. He was a Raymond grad. Now, right down there, his office up there, we drew up the plans for a 10,000 seat auditorium. I looked at it, something went inside of me. That's not it. Now, everybody was building them. I mean, all the charismatic people were building these huge auditoriums. Okay, so I said, draw again. Now, we weren't drawing plans. We were just drawing the stick drawings or whatever, just the deal. And so he cut it down to about, I think he cut it down to 9. I said, no, that's not it. He drew another one, 8,500. No, that's not it. Then he kept redoing. It was over a year. He said, here, look at this. It was 4,500. 2,500 seats down, 2,000 up. And when I saw it on the inside, this is it. And you're sitting in it. If we would have done the other, we would have been way, way overboard, spent money that wouldn't need to be spent. Come on now. You see, so there are times that you need to look. Let me give you three different things about learning to listen to your heart. If you decide to go against natural wisdom, be absolutely, 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 absolutely certain that God has told you to do it, and don't get in a hurry. One of the things that people try to do is push you. If I'm shopping and Lynette and I, we go into a store, we're looking at a piece of furniture, and that furniture man says, oh, you better get it today because it's going up tomorrow, blah, 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 blah. I walk on by and I get away and I say, let's get out of here. You know, I do. Because you make a mistake if you get in a hurry. Years ago, when we were doing our video, we were doing videotape, and we were doing the 1-inch videotape when we were doing some stuff. Well, Dale Dawes was our video man, and I see Tad shaking his head, and he knows Dale. Some of the other people may know Dale. Bill does. And he came to me and he said, man, Memorex, I think he said, man, the salesman just came to us and he said, this was in December, said there's a big increase coming in January. If you'll buy so many cases right now, you can get them for this price. I told Dale, I said, Dale, all he's trying to do is make some money for Christmas. I said, I'm not buying that. I'm not buying that tail. I said, I think that was memory. I said, go see what Telex has to say. That was tape companies back then. And he came back and said, well, they say that there's not an increase and so forth and so on. I said, see, I told you. So, you see, sometimes you just listen to yourself natural stuff. Okay, I'm trying to tell you how to walk both sides of the road. That was a time that I'd bought enough audio tape and videotape to know that a guy's trying to run me down the road. Here a while back, somebody came up and they was trying to do something. I don't know. They're trying to sell me on something or do something. And after it's over, I told another guy, I said, I've learned more. I forgot more than he knows about that subject. I wouldn't mess with him. If he come back, he's going to give me the product. Somebody said, well, why? I said, well, if he's going to give it to you, you don't know whether it's good or not because he's not a man of his word. Anyway, see, they're natural and there's listening to the man on the inside. You just can't jump and hurry or you can't go and make a decision and, oh, God bless it. Boy, y'all getting quiet on me. I've seen many people, many ministers, in fact, start a project and it failed and then they blame God. I could have told them it wouldn't work to start with. Come on. Number two, we most often receive our revelation from the Lord when our minds are quiet and our hearts are open. The guidance may come when we least expect it. When I get it, it's usually I'm relaxed. I'm not even thinking about it. I've gotten answers. And days gone by, before the church ever started, we would go out to Little Sahara and ride the four-wheelers with the family. I'd take off every 6 weeks, but other than that, I'm gone every weekend preaching somewhere. And Lynette was getting food ready, and I said, I'm going to take a short ride, and I rode out, and I'm sitting on top of a sand dune. Got my feet laying across the handlebars and just laying back on the seat of that four-wheeler, just looking up in the sky and just not thinking about nothing, really. Just anybody know what I'm talking about? And all of a sudden, bam, there come the idea or the answer, you might call it, for what I've been wrestling with. Now, I'm not even thinking about it. But you see, I am so busy in the office and so forth and at home and out preaching that my mind is all cluttered. But I got out there. I'm not thinking about anything. In fact, I think I was just laying there, started singing a song, and you didn't want to hear it, but I was singing it anyway. You see, that's what I'm talking about. How many understand what I'm saying to you? Now, let me close this out. It's 8 o'clock. I've got to get out of here. Okay. Don't try to measure your success by comparing yourself with other people. Listen to your heart. The Lord doesn't measure you by what your friend is doing or what another believer is doing. He measures you by, are you listening to the Spirit of God, and are you doing what you know to do? All right. Psalms 32:8. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathways of your life. I will advise you and watch over you. I'm going to close with this story. Corrie Ten Boom, many of you know her, many of you don't. She was the only survivor of the Holocaust and then from the Nazi concentration camps of her family. And after World War II, she was invited to America to speak. However, she applied for traveling documents, and the Dutch officials refused to give her any. And she had been to the office and stood in line day after day, and they always no and refused. One day, she is waiting in line again, and she claimed Psalms 32:8, asking God to help her. Suddenly, a man passed by her and smiled and stopped and said, hey, you're my cousin. I haven't seen you in years. And so she asked him, are you going to America too? And he said, no, my office is in this building. But if you have any trouble getting your documents, here's my card and here's my number. Just ring it up. Well, when she got to the window, the official there, he knew her. She'd been there before. He was curt and he was coarse and told her, no way you're getting any document. She just slid the phone number across to him and said, would you call this number, please? The man looked at the paper and his eyes got real wide. He dialed a number. He spoke three or four words, hung up, and promptly issued her traveling papers. It doesn't say who he was, but I'm sure he was over all of it. She said for the rest of her life, she constantly bumped into the right people at the right time that helped her travel around the world preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. See, if you follow your heart, he'll help you know where to go, what to do, so you can be a success. I trust you got something out of what I had to say tonight. I just took some information from a couple of books. Somebody said, well, you plagiarized. Because one book was yours and one book was your dad's. No, it says it was written by Kenneth Hagin, and I'm Kenneth Hagin, so I didn't plagiarize. Besides that, I own the copyright to that book. So, Faith Library Publications, and I'm the head of it. No, I just said that to Sutter. Can everybody stand, please? Did you understand what I'm trying to say to you? I said it in a little different teaching way, just you know how I am on Wednesday night. I just like to talk to you, just like we're having a conversation. Only it's a one-sided conversation. I do all the talking, you do all the listening. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Spirit that lives on the inside of us. I thank you that the Spirit on the inside of us can give us ideas, can lead us and direct us and guide us, can guide us into the right things and keep us out of the wrong things and can protect us, keep us in everything. I thank you for it. Help us all to be more sensitive to the Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen.